Hello, this is Emily Casperson from the Stanford Alumni Association. I would like to welcome you to our second book of the 2012-2013 book salon season, Tevye, the Dairyman, and the Railroad Stories. This month, I am delighted to introduce our host and author, Gabriella Safron. She is the Eva Chernov-Loki Professor in Jewish Studies and Professor and Director of Slavic Languages and Literatures. Gabriella teaches and writes on Russian literature, Yiddish literature, and folklore. As chair of the Division of Literatures, Cultures, and Languages, she has gained interest in the reorganization of humanities departments and its implications on teaching and scholarship. Thank you so much for kicking off this month's discussion. Why did you choose this book?
So I was excited at the idea of being able to give readers a chance to learn about a brilliant writer who might be new to them. Sholem Aleichem was a Russian Jew. His real name was Sholem Rabinovich. He was born in 1859 near Poltava in what's today Ukraine, and he died in 1916 in New York City. And he was famous in his own time as a humorist, and he was especially famous for his short stories, like the ones collected in this volume here. His short stories are always very conversational. There's always kind of an element of conversation in them. So it's really appropriate, I think, that we're having a conversation now about these stories. His best-known stories, I think, are the ones that I've assigned here, that I've recommended, the Tevye the Dairyman stories. They're actually the basis of Fiddler on the Roof, the American musical and film. I think Fiddler on the Roof is the source of what most Americans know about Eastern European Jewish life, probably because Fiddler on the Roof is performed so often in high schools. It has so many good girls' parts, so it makes sense. It's something I think we all remember from the film, if we've seen it, or the musical, is how Tevye speaks. You know, how Tevye speaks to God, how he speaks to his wife. And this comes out of the way that Sholem Aleichem is just so brilliant in depicting conversation. It makes sense that Sholem Aleichem's stories would seem so conversational because he wrote in Yiddish, which was the language that he spoke in. It was his native language, his vernacular. This actually was not an obvious choice. It might seem obvious to us because we're English speakers, so we think you speak English, you write in English, you write in your native language, your native vernacular. But actually, there have been a lot of times and places in history when this has not been the case. For Jews in Eastern Europe, before the generation of Sholem Aleichem, writing was something that happened in Hebrew or Aramaic, the languages of the educated male elite, the languages of rabbinics, of religious text, law, legal documents. Or writing was something that happened in German or Russian, the prestige languages of the countries where the Jews lived. Yiddish was not really seen as something for writing, or it wasn't seen as something for writing serious things. It was for writing for or by women who were not literate in Hebrew or Aramaic, or writing for or by uneducated men. And that's kind of similar to the situation with other non-elite vernaculars or spoken languages of Eastern Europe, like Ukrainian or Lithuanian, where they weren't seen so much as languages for writing. But in the second half of the 19th century, this changes, right? It changes for Ukrainian, various other Eastern European vernaculars, and it changes for Yiddish. Yiddish writing starts to develop from the 1860s and 70s, and then much more from the 1890s, where you get first novels, a few novels, then more novels, a few newspapers in Yiddish, then more newspapers in Yiddish. You get eventually Yiddish theater, Yiddish publishing houses, Yiddish schools, Yiddish textbooks. And this happens in Eastern Europe, especially Poland and the Soviet Union. And it also happens in Canada, the U.S., Argentina, so it's an international phenomenon. And Sholem Aleichem is part of this. Sholem Aleichem is really seen as one of the first Yiddish classic writers. And Sholem Aleichem is really conscious of his own status as a pathbreaker, as somebody who was doing something exciting and new by writing in the spoken language, by writing in the vernacular. So Shlomo Aleichem is really conscious of his status as a pathbreaker. He's really aware that he's writing in the vernacular, and that's new and it's exciting. And he's a kind of mediator between the spoken word and the written word. So and you see this really if you look at his biography, because when he is young, when he's the age of our undergraduates, high school students even, he starts writing in the serious languages. So he writes in Hebrew and he writes in Russian, and it doesn't work so well for him. And then he begins to write in Yiddish. And it's when he starts to write in Yiddish that he becomes a satirist, a humorist, and when he really gains this voice. But he's always conscious, here I am writing in Yiddish. Is that okay? I think a lot of his best stories thematize this issue of language and the issue of the written word versus the spoken word. His stories, his best stories, are framed as an encounter between a more educated frame narrator and a more naive or folky listener or speaker, right? So you have, on the one hand, this sort of more educated person who's somehow in the countryside or on a train listening, and then you have these people he meets who speak in their folky way. And this is especially something that we see with the two sets of stories in the volume that I chose, the Tevye the Dairyman stories and the Railroad stories. In the Railroad stories, each story is told to a frame narrator who's a traveling salesman. He's on the train. He is going from one small shtetl, one little Jewish market town in the Pale of Settlement where the Jews lived in the Russian Empire, one small town to another. Maybe he's going to a big city like Poltava or Kiev. And he's whiling away the time on the train listening to the other passengers. And you have a similar structure with the Tevye the Dairyman stories, where the Tevye stories are all spoken by Tevye to this frame narrator whom Tevye addresses as Pan Shlomo Aleichem. Pan means Mr. in Polish. And the name of this frame narrator, Shlomo Aleichem, is Sholem Rabinovich's pseudonym. Right? So the real person, Sholem Rabinovich, writes under the name Shlomo Aleichem, and he inserts that name and that persona into the Tevye the Dairyman stories. And this is actually a joke, because Shlomo Aleichem means something. Shlomo Aleichem means nice to meet you in Yiddish. If someone says to you in Yiddish, Shlomo Aleichem, you should answer Aleichem Sholem. So Shlomo Aleichem means peace to you, and you should answer, and to you, peace. Let's try it. Shlomo Aleichem.
Aleichem Sholem.
Beautiful. Okay. So this is kind of the dynamic between Shlomo Aleichem and his readers, right? There's a kind of give and take, which is not necessarily the case with all 19th century literature. So I'm trying to show us, to show you, to show our listeners how there's something about Shlomo Aleichem that's conversational in a way that's really special. The name at the same time is deceptive, right? Because the name is, it makes it seem as though Shlomo Aleichem is just a hi, how are you, pleased to meet you, folksy guy himself. Actually, he wasn't. Actually, he was a pretty sophisticated, educated man. He spoke Russian at home with his own wife and kids. He did not speak Yiddish with his own family. His kids grew up not very literate in Yiddish. But he appealed to his audience by putting on this persona of Shlomo Aleichem and by speaking from the position of Pan Shlomo Aleichem, of a sort of Yiddish-speaking mediator between the folk world of the sort of real Yiddish speakers and the more educated world. So that's a long answer to your first question.
That's wonderful. What issues from Tevye the Dairyman stories can you single out that readers might find interesting to discuss?
Well, obviously, I'm fascinated by the structure of the stories, right? This frame narrator, you know, what does it do? What's the effect of the fact that we read the Tevye the Dairyman stories, we read them through this figure of the frame narrator, right? There's this Pan Shlomo Aleichem figure, and everything is kind of told to him by Tevye. What's the effect on us, the readers. That's I think, something very important. I also think it's important to think about the subject of the stories. You know, it's a very classic topic of fiction. Children disagree with their parents, and they go their own way. Girls do not want to marry the men that their fathers wish they would marry. Right? This is, you know, Shlomo Aleichem was not the first person to come up with this topic. And I think it's interesting to think about what Shlomo Aleichem accomplishes by taking this very familiar topic and putting it in the form that he does here. I also think it's really fascinating to try to figure out what side Shlomo Aleichem is on. Is he on the side of the daughters who want to marry whoever they want to marry? Or is he on the side of Tevye the dairyman, the defender of a kind of old-fashioned patriarchal tradition? I also think it's interesting to think about the tension between tradition and traditional Jewish behavior, traditional Jewish forms of living, just Jewish tradition, and other ways of behaving. I think it's fascinating to think about how Tevye he doesn't live in a kind of unchanging past that's unaffected by modernity. Tevye, like all of Shlomo Aleichem's characters, lives at the end of the 19th century when there's urbanization and immigration and industrialization and revolution. And these things affect Tevye. They matter to him. And I think it's worthwhile for us as we read to think about what Shlomo Aleichem is doing by depicting those new forces in the way that he does. I think it's fascinating to think about translation as you read these stories. They're incredibly hard to translate. Shlomo Aleichem is famously impossible to translate. He is the bane of translators, and therefore he gets translated over and over again because everyone is trying to show, I can do it. You know, I can do this thing that previous translators can't do. Some of the reasons for why it's so hard to translate Shlomo Aleichem are that he uses so many different languages. So he writes in Yiddish, but he does things that are permissible in Yiddish, which are to insert other languages. So his characters will say three sentences in Yiddish and suddenly six words in a row in Aramaic. Or they'll say a sentence in Yiddish and suddenly a sentence in Russian or Ukrainian. And from the perspective of Shlomo Aleichem's readers, that's fine. That's normal. That's how you talk. For a translator, that's tremendously hard because you want to show, when you translate into English, you want to show here's where Tevye is speaking Yiddish and here's where he's quoting from the Book of Esther in Hebrew. How do you show that? You know, here's Tevye speaking Yiddish, and here's Tevye quoting the words of the police inspector who speaks to him in Russian. How are you going to do that? It's very interesting and complicated. And Hillel Halkin, the translator of the volume that I chose, Hillel Halkin makes decisions that are maximally difficult. Right? So you could make a decision as a translator to make the text easy, to make it domestic. People say domesticating. It's a domesticating translation where not very much interrupts your reading, where you read and you think, yeah, easy, easy, good, no problem. Right? That would be a decision maybe where you just make everything English. And what Hillel Halkin does is he produces a foreignizing translation where he leaves the Aramaic in Aramaic. He leaves the Ukrainian in Ukrainian, and he gives you footnotes. So that foreignizing technique, which is a more modern translating technique, is something that is really worth, I think, thinking about as you read. Finally, I guess there's one more question I wanted to suggest, which is about the railroad stories. I've talked a lot about the Tevye the Dairyman stories, but this volume also includes the railroad stories, so another famous series of stories by Shlomo Aleichem, and a wonderful series. And they are they're all set, as I mentioned, on trains. The railroad is a symbol of modernity. It's a symbol of speed, especially in the late 19th century. But at the same time, what happens on the train, if you judge
by the railroad stories, by Shlomo Lichem's railroad stories, what happens is storytelling, which people tend to think of as a symbol of the archaic, right? The old-fashioned, old ways of life. So what I think it's worth thinking about is how do the railroad stories bring together the modern and the archaic, speed and slowness, and the stories themselves thematize speed and slowness. Maybe there's a better word for that. The stories in the way they show us time going fast and then slowly make us reflect on the tension between the modern and the archaic, between speed and slowness in our own lives.
Would you share a passage you consider representative of the book and talk to us about why you chose it?
Sure, absolutely. So I thought that it would make sense to just start with the very first passage, the first paragraph of the first story, Tevye Strikes It Rich. And I'll read the whole thing out loud, and then I'll talk about it for a couple minutes. Here it is. So this is Tevye speaking to Pan Shlomo Lichem. "If you're meant to strike it rich, Pan Shlomo Lichem, you may as well stay home with your slippers on, because good luck will find you there too. The more it blows, the better it goes, as King David says in his Psalms. And believe me, neither brains nor brawn has anything to do with it. And vice versa. If it's not in the cards, you can run back and forth till you're blue in the face. It will do as much good as last winter's snow. How does the saying go? Flogging a dead horse won't make it run any faster. A man slaves, works himself to the bone, is ready to lie down and die. It shouldn't happen to the worst enemy of the Jews. Suddenly, don't ask me how or why, it rains gold on him from all sides. In a word, revach v'hatzolo yamoid le'yehudim, just like it says in the Bible. That's too long a verse to translate, but the general gist of it is that as long as a Jew lives and breathes in this world and hasn't more than one leg in the grave, he mustn't lose faith. Take it from my own experience, that is, from how the good Lord helped set me up in my present line of business. After all, if I sell butter and cheese and such stuff, do you think that's because my grandmother's grandmother was a milkman? But if I'm going to tell you the whole story, it's worth hearing from beginning to end. If you don't mind, then, I'll sit myself down here beside you and let my horse chew on some grass. He's only human, too, don't you think? Or else why would God have made him a horse?" So I think this is just a great example of Tevye's voice and Shlomo Lichem showing us a funny voice. You hear Tevye here, he's showing off. He's quoting a passage from the Bible. Specifically, it's a passage from Esther, the book of Esther. He loves the book of Esther, and he quotes it all the time throughout these stories. And he quotes it probably because it's a well-known text. It's a text that's read out loud. All Jews read it out loud on the holiday of Purim. They read the whole book of Esther. It's pretty short. It's narrative. It's fun. They read it out loud, and Tevye, the dairyman, remembers it. And so he produces these quotes from the books of the Bible that he remembers, especially Esther, over and over again. And what's fascinating is that he tends to offer these very idiosyncratic translations of them. It's hard to say that it really means what he says it means. Specifically, these words that he quotes in this passage literally mean, "Then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." This is not, one could hardly argue that this means, as long as a Jew lives and breathes in this world and hasn't more than one leg in the grave, he mustn't lose faith. But what we have is, what we see here is Tevye working with the text, making it mean what he wants it to mean, and we see Shlomo Lichem appealing to all different kinds of readers. We see him appealing to readers who do know what the quote from Esther means and who are maybe laughing at Tevye. And he's also just showing us this very funny voice that's appealing even if you don't know what the quote from Esther really means. You also see in this passage some kind of humorous gender confusion, right? If I sell butter and cheese and such stuff, do you think that's because my grandmother's grandmother was a milkman? She couldn't have been a milkman. But this this kind of gender confusion is very typical for Tevye. And it maybe makes sense for a story about a man who sells milk, a man who is who lives in a household full of women whom he can't control, his daughters, his wife. We also see this in this passage. We see Tevye's warmth, his sympathy, and especially his sympathy for his horse. I love this line at the end. He's only human too, don't you think? Or else why would God have made him a horse? Actually, Hillel Halkin is indulging in some creative mistranslation of his own here. If you look at the Yiddish, the last line of this paragraph is, Lo zich dos ferdel der weil epis kayin, oich abashefenish by got, meaning, let the horse eat something for a while. He too is a creature of God. He too is a creation of God. So the translator is inserting some of his own humor here. But I think the way that he does it really gives us the flavor of Tevye's speech in the original. And it also shows us, it really shows us Tevye's interest in living things, his warmth, his humor, his difficulty in sticking to the point. The tremendous orality, the tremendous oral quality of this written word. I think that that Shlomo Lechem brilliantly captures how it feels to listen to living speech, which doesn't stick to the point, which is, you know, goes off in one direction and then another. And it's humorous and it's directed at a person. It's very much kind of aware of the context in which it's spoken. All of that, I think, comes across in Shlomo Aleichem's Tevye. And I think that Hillel Halkin does a good job in conveying that in English. I think as you read Shlomo Aleichem yourself, you should try to imagine it spoken out loud. Maybe you have to read it out loud in order to really get it. Maybe you should choose your favorite one of the stories in this book and read it out loud and see what the effect is. I think that you get thereby a kind of sense of the oral quality of Jewish life in Eastern Europe. I think that this added awareness that you can get from reading Shlomo Aleichem out loud and added awareness of the music and the humor of speech, that is something that Shlomo Aleichem gives us.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Gabriela, thank you again for introducing Tevye the Dairyman and the Railroad Stories to our book salon community. I'm looking forward to reading it myself.
Excellent.